Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This story from John chapter 2 is among the most famous in Scripture, at least because of the image of Jesus turning water into wine. And that was a big deal. It would be a big deal today. And I remember back in the 1990s, there was a rock group that came out with a song called Jesus is Way Cool. And it talked about all the amazing things that Jesus could do. And frankly, from the long list of things they sang about, I remember that Wayne Gretzky, he would score more goals than Wayne Gretzky. Now, that dates me, but hockey reference seems appropriate on this frigid day. But Jesus wasn't doing these signs or miracles because he wanted to impress people. He wasn't engaged in magic tricks. There was a reason he did this. And apparently, my task as the preacher today is to make this story fresh to you, because you all know it. You've heard lots of sermons on it, and I could actually invite some of you to come up and preach for me today. Not going to do that. So you're all okay in that front. But one of the things that struck me is the way the relationship between Jesus and his mother is portrayed in this passage. Now, maybe I'm engaging a little bit of stereotyping here, but the image I've had of Jesus all throughout my life is Jesus would have been a good son. He would have shown his elders respect. He would have been polite. He would have been caring and loving. And yet, if we read this passage carefully, Jesus seems to be short and sharp and dismissive of his mother, whom John only refers to as the mother of Jesus. Now, any of you who are parents, I believe, would take pride in your children and would be excited to say that my son is a lawyer or my daughter is a social worker and taking care of people. But you wouldn't want to just be known as the mother of the doctor or the social worker who cared for people. You would want people to know who you were. I don't think I'm off on that. So what's going on here? I can't tell you why John wrote the gospel the way he did, but I can make some suppositions and try to draw things out from his writing style. And John, as I've mentioned in the past, had a very high Christology. He was focused on Jesus as the Christ. That is what mattered to him. Jesus was the Son of God, he was the Christ, and it was his story that mattered. And so everything else would have been incidental to John. Yet, we still have Jesus saying things like, woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come. Now, it seems very strange that Jesus would refer to his mother as woman, and then he says, it's not my problem. It's not my time. And we need to remember that John is not offering us a first-hand report from an event that he witnessed. And he was trying to communicate what Jesus was doing here. And at this moment, Jesus is launching his public ministry. And he's doing it at the wedding of some of his neighbors. That would have been a big event. Now, I don't know if any of you have organized any outdoor events, but they can be fun. And it's lovely, a party or a wedding, to be able to enjoy the event that's taking place and also to enjoy God's good creation. But there's also the risk of bugs, of the weather changing, of that thunderstorm breaking out, and that could ruin the wedding. There's There's also the possibility that you're not fully prepared. And we hear at this event that the wine ran out. Now, I know people can be sensitive about alcoholism and drinking issues. That was not the focus of this script. We are just going to deal with the first century Judeans and the way they celebrated and offering that wine to their neighbors was a way of showing their hospitality and their care. If the wine ran out at that event, it could have been socially crippling for that young couple and their family. It would have been talked about throughout the village and the region, and everybody would have remembered that event. And who comes in to save the day? Jesus will, but at that moment, Mary, his mother, has confidence in Jesus that he will be able to solve the problem. Do whatever he tells you, she says. Now, I don't know about you, but I sometimes have some difficulty in doing whatever anyone tells me to do. Part of it's me, part of it's the fact I'm an American. I want to do things my way. And yet here, Mary is telling the crowd, the steward, to pay attention to Jesus, that he's going to take care of it, that they should trust him, and that things will be okay. We know from subsequent events that it was, that the wine was, the water was changed into wine, and it was a miracle. The steward was shocked when he found the wine in the jars, and he said, this doesn't make any sense. The good wine should be given out first and not at the end of the party. But that's where things were left. Now, there are different ways that we can interpret or talk about those jars, and I would just like to have you think about times in your life when you may have felt like an empty jar, when you felt you needed something to be made whole. And it could have been in a relationship. It could have been something for your children. It could have been in your job. Maybe you're looking at our political situation or the climate crisis, and you're thinking really big, and you're feeling really empty. Jesus is here, is providing us with the wine we need. God is sharing his grace with us. And we see hints of that in Isaiah 62, part of scripture that was shared and written at the time of the person we call Third Isaiah in academic circles. And that was a word that was shared with the Jews when they returned to the Holy Land after a time of exile. They were really excited. Everything was going to be good and great. And of course, Jerusalem was a series of ruins, and the government wasn't working well, and people wondered when they were going to be delivered. And the word was shared, God is going to take care of you. God is going to help you. And that word was shared from generation to generation, and not just in the time of Jesus, but I would argue that promise is made to you and to me today. So we might not get that pony or that spiffy new car we want, but God's grace is available to all of us. And that is the new wine we should look for. That is the new wine that Dr. King was focused on, and we can think about the preaching and the work he did. And if you think about it, it's pretty easy for folks who've gotten everything to say, your turn will come. It'll be taken care of. But if you're the person who has nothing, if you're the person who has been locked out, waiting is not an option. And if we look at the story of African Americans in this country, we can see that those are people who have been shut out. And great strides have been made, but we're not there yet. And if you want to think about Native Americans, they've been shut out, and they're waiting. And they want to stop hearing. Your time will come. We know that the human heart has lots of room to love. But we also know that the human heart is capable of going to dark places. And we were reminded of that yesterday down in Texas, when a gunman took some people hostage at a synagogue. And just imagine, you're here at worship, and a gunman comes in during your time of prayer and violates your sacred place. We don't have the luxury to say, your time will come. We are called, as followers of Jesus Christ, to work to make that time now. Now, I'm not going to tell anybody to go march. I'm not going to tell anyone to go riot. I'm not going to tell anyone to go make a big stink. But if you see something that is wrong, think about what God would want you to do. Think about those opportunities to speak up, to reach out, to make a difference. Think of those people at the wedding in Cana and how they wanted to share their hospitality with others. In Jesus' defense, I'm not going to tell you lots of stories about Jesus not being a good son. I'm not going to tell you, I guess I actually am, that I had this image of Mary rolling her eyes. But I want you to think about what Jesus did on the cross. And in this gospel, when he looked at Mary and said, "Woman, this man will be your son." And then he looked at the beloved disciple and he said, "And she will be your mother." And then the two of them lived together at home. Jesus, at that moment of crisis, was thinking of others and was calling on people to care for one another. Think about that. So, I will grant a song title from the 90s was pretty accurate. Jesus is way cool. But it's not because he's scoring more goals than Wayne Gretzky. I don't think you'd care about that. But think about the people he took care of that day in Cana. And that was a sign he was showing that God's grace is limitless. And it could fill all those jars, it could fill all those hearts, and it still can. We are called to help God do his work. And I hope that we will do so with enthusiasm and faith. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this weekend. This time to reflect on the service and ministry of Martin Luther King Jr. and of all of the people who have fought to bring justice into this world. Help us to be amongst them. In Jesus' name we praise. Amen.